All right, Isaiah 53. There's no doubt in our mind who this is talking about. When Isaiah saw his glory, he spake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, when he heard the eunuch read from Isaiah 53, he began at that same scripture and preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm entitling the message from what is said in verse 10. I think verse 10 is the key verse here. Probably the key verse in this chapter and the key verse in the gospel according to Isaiah. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he did in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. Psalm 135. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper. Prosper in his hand. So the title of the message will be, It Pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to send him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to raise him from the dead. It pleased the Lord that he might justify sinners by the shedding of his blood. If we consider Isaiah 53 as a high point of the gospel according to Isaiah, then verses 10, 11, and 12 have to be the peak climax of what is said, and the key verse, especially in this chapter. Well, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ dies at the appointed time, the appointed way, for the appointed people, decreed and determined of God. Remember from our study in the book of Acts, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. And then in Acts chapter 4 it says, they only did what God determined before to be done. In doing so, in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, we see every demand of God's law for the salvation of his sinners, salvation of his people, honored. The law of God satisfied. The law of God justified in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to enable God to be a what? Just God and Savior, Isaiah 45. To enable him to be just and the justifier only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at verse 10 again. It pleased the Lord. Talking about L-O-R-D. Notice capital L-O-R-D. Jehovah, God Almighty, the Father, to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath put him to grief. Look at verse 4, Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Now get a hold of that. Smitten of God and afflicted. Now if you look back at verse 9, it says there he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man mediator, had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. We read that in the scripture. He never committed one sin. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin, as the priest of God representing us. But he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Yet we see when the sin of God's elect were charged, reckoned, and imputed to him by the hand of God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ was bruised and punished for those sins. You remember what it says here in verse 5? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. He had none of his own. Our sin was reckoned to him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now get a hold of this. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He dies in the room and in the stead as our substitute, bearing our guilt, bearing our shame, bearing our sin for us, and fully putting that away. It pleased God to make him to be sin for us. Now here in his love, is it not? Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And that he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. We know from reading the scripture that it pleased the Pharisees to bruise him, right? It pleased the Romans to bruise him and crush him. The Pharisees hated him, and it pleased them to see him die such a horrible death. Crushed, beaten, whipped, lacerated. They hated him so. But it wasn't what wicked men did at Calvary that day. That's our hope. It's what God was doing. You see, it pleased the Lord to lay on him our sin. It pleased the Lord to wound him and bruise him because of our sin that was reckoned to him. Most people have never considered that it pleased God to punish the sin of God's people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when sin was found on Christ, being imputed to him, he suffered the holy wrath of God due our sin. The scripture said, Peter writes about it, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Now, why does he suffer so upon Calvary's tree? Why? Because God is holy. Where sin is found, God's wrath must fall. Exodus 33 says he will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ was made guilty for our sin. Ezekiel said the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He never personally committed any sin, but if you read Psalm 40, he said he called our sin his own, laid upon him. The wages of sin is death. God the Father not only permitted Christ to suffer like no other as our substitute, as our sin offering, but he planned the cross, purposed the cross, presided over the cross, and participated in afflicting God's dear Son. Again, I repeat, it wasn't what men did, it's what God was doing. The sword of his justice was plunged into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he stands there guilty for our sin. Jeremiah writes about it. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done to me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Lamentation 1 verse 12. Look at verse 10 again. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, we can read it this way. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, or the guiltiness of our sin. That's the reason he dies. He dies because our sin was made his, and because sin was found on him, he became guilty before God. That's why he suffers. Peter writes about it again. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Paul writes about it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him to be sin for us. Who did that? Men couldn't do that. God made him to be sin for us. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all of his elect. Christ suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made complete, perfect atonement for all the sin of God's covenant people. Now hear me. Clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for all of the sins of all men everywhere without exception. That's not so. Scripture does not teach that. Are you sure? Preacher, are you sure? Look at verse 8. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. I had on the radio broadcast this morning, I asked this question. Is there anybody in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died? Absolutely not. His death was effectual. All those for whom he died, they are justified by his blood. And they shall never, never perish. The Lord Jesus Christ made complete atonement for the sin of his people. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is a total act of God. Man has no part in it, in the accomplishment of salvation. This is God's Lamb. John said, "Behold this Lamb." What does he do? He takes away the sin of God's people in this world. Now I want to seriously and carefully consider the fruit. In these next verses, we have the fruit of his atonement. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. How thorough and how complete is the blood atonement of Christ? God says in Hebrews 10:17, their iniquity, their sin, and their iniquity will I remember no more. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west, they're cast behind the back of God into the depths of the sea. They're gone. He made full and complete atonement for the sin of his people. Notice, he shall, not maybe, but shall without fail. The last part of verse 10. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. None can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God, what doest thou? Prosper. I love that word prosper, don't you? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Christ shall see his seed. You remember he said, all that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord Jesus Christ shall see his people. How does he see them? Washed, justified, and made clean by the blood atonement of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. He sees them justified by his blood. By the one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. He shall see them made new creatures in Christ. He sees them complete in Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. He sees them perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what predestination is all about. That's not an ugly word. That's a Bible word that God uses to say that their people are predetermined to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ, conformed to his image. He shall see his people. How does he see them? Justified, sanctified, cleansed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he shall prolong, notice shall, not maybe, not could be, not might. He shall prolong his days. The Lord Jesus Christ, although he died, he ever lives to intercede for us. He said in John 14, because I live, you shall live also. I love the scripture in Revelation 1:18. It's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and of death. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Not over him or us in him. Remember what the Lord said to Martha when Lazarus had died? And the Lord said, he'll be raised again. Or she said, he'll be raised again. And the Lord said unto her, let me read it to you. In John chapter 11, don't turn, let me just read it to you. In John chapter 11, the Lord said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And the Lord said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? I do. He gives us what kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall never, never perish. So he shall prolong his days and ours. In him, we have eternal life in him. Here's the third thing. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, or shall be profitable. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a defeat. It's not a downfall. It's a most glorious achievement and an accomplishment. The line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail in his mission to accomplish God's redemptive purpose. You remember we read in Luke chapter 2, the Lord's first recorded words when he was manifested in the flesh. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Remember? And then he prayed in John 17, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. And then when he died upon Calvary's tree, what did he say? It is finished. Salvation accomplished. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The hand of the Lord, that's a mighty hand. That's the arm of the Lord, and that's to whom the gospel and how the gospel is revealed. Never think of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as a defeat. It's a victory. Total and complete. Complete victory over sin, he put it away. Complete victory over Satan, crushed his dominion and power. Complete victory over death, he ever lives. Complete victory over the grave, delivered for our offenses, raised again because he justified us. Thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole book of the Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's a revelation of the Lamb upon the throne who is victorious over all enemies. That's the whole book. That's the whole theme of the book. And really the whole theme of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. Here's the fourth thing I see in verse 11, Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, if there's any word that describes the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, it's this word, satisfied. The law of God that we've offended and have broken, the law of God is satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ, the justice of God that we stand guilty before, the law of God is satisfied in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be satisfied. I love this word of promise. He, the Son of God, our glorious substitute, our great sin offering, our divine Savior, the one who died in our room and in our stead, he shall be satisfied. Notice the word shall, without doubt, without the possibility of hindrance, without the possibility of failure. Be what? Satisfied. Fully, completely, eternally satisfied. He's satisfied with the terms of redemption purpose to him as the surety of the covenant before the world was made. You remember he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is satisfied with his purchase. He purchased us with his own blood. He's satisfied with his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He's satisfied with the ransom price that he paid. Remember, God said, deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. He's satisfied with us. In him, he redeemed us. We have complete, effectual redemption, salvation accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Satisfied. God the Father speaks from heaven not once but twice. And this is his message. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what he's saying there? Satisfied. Satisfied. Now listen to me carefully. Believers are satisfied with all that Christ has done for us. But really, in reality, that's not the most important issue. The most important issue is that God Almighty is satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's Lamb, purpose, plan, predestinated, who accomplished all of God's purpose in our salvation. God is satisfied. Here's the fifth thing. Christ shall justify many. You see that in verse 11? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now notice he's the righteous servant of the Lord. In Isaiah 42, the first time the word elect is given, in Isaiah 42, 1, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentile. And it says in Isaiah 42, verse 4, he shall not fail. He shall not be defeated, shall not be discouraged, till he's accomplished all God's purpose. And he did, completely, fully. He shall bear their sin. He shall justify, notice, he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, if he bears our iniquities and justifies us, there is therefore now in the Lord Jesus Christ, what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, who are these many? All those given to him in that eternal covenant of grace. As it says down in the last part of verse 8, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He bare the sin of those many given to him in that covenant of grace, as many as were ordained to eternal life. He's bringing, as the captain of our salvation, he's bringing many sons unto glory. That's for whom he died, justified by his blood, for he shall bear their iniquity. Now, if he bears our iniquities in his own body on the tree and puts them away forever before God, you know what that means? That means we don't bear them. That means he put them away. That means salvation is done. It's over, complete, perfect in him. Now, one more verse, verse 12. He shall divide, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, because he was numbered with transgressors, because he bare the sin of many, many, his elect, his covenant children, and he made intercession for them. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Seated on the throne of glory, when he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of Almighty God. He will divide a great portion to his people. His people are his portion. Therefore Christ shall inherit many, the many given to him. Listen to scripture. Deuteronomy 32, the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is a lot of his inheritance. The Lord's portion given to him is the elect of God. The elect of God. He shall divide the spoil of the strong. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated all principalities and powers. He destroyed Satan, made a complete conquest over all our enemies. He went forth conquering and to conquer, it says in Revelation chapter 6. Now let me close by giving you this. The last part of verse 12. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, he poured out his soul unto death. Remember when they came to arrest him? He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He poured out his soul unto death for us because he loved us. He loved us and gave himself for us. He poured out his soul unto death. Secondly, because he was numbered with transgressor. He died between those two thieves, right? He saved one of them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was numbered as a transgressor, as our sin counted as a transgressor, because our sin was made to meet upon him. We call that substitution. We call that satisfaction. He bare the sin of many, those many given to him in the covenant of grace. And then he ever lives. He makes intercession for us as our mediator. Do you need a mediator? Do you think you can go it on your own? You can't. You need an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a mediator with God. One God, one mediator. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He makes intercession for, look what it says, for sinners. Preacher, you mean you're a sinner? Absolutely. Born that way, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. When we talk about being sanctified, it's not the flesh that's sanctified. This flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is sanctified is that new man created in Christ Jesus. That new man, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He ever lived to intercede for transgressors. The Lord Jesus Christ died for who? The ungodly. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Now, if I can find a sinner, I've got good news for him. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He made intercession for transgressors. Paul said, I'm the chief one. O wretched man that I am, Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.